Here we are back again with an episode of The Post Route. What's up, Chris?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. How about them Preds?
How about it, man? Stanley Cup finals.
Stanley Cup. That's crazy. The open netter, man, I was watching the game, and I was watching Paul Kaharsky tweet, and it wasn't Paul Kaharsky, it was Mickey Ryan on 3HL, and he showed us like a video of when they scored that last goal, or the first empty netter.
Right.
And dude, the crowd was ballistic outside. That's pretty awesome.
Well, it's funny, I was sitting in a restaurant with my wife, we're watching the game.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to her how whenever a team goes down in the last few minutes, they'll take the goalie off.
To try to get
a power play advantage, and lo and behold, that it happened. And I said a lot of times what will happen is the team defending the empty net will launch a prayer shot.
Oh yeah,
the other side of the ice, and then it happened. It was just crazy.
Oh yeah, man, it was awesome, dude. I was pretty fired up. I'm not even the biggest hockey fan, and just for the town, man, it's awesome. You just see everybody. Everybody getting all hyped up and everything.
Oh, for sure. You know, and I hope that the hype, spills over into the football season.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. OTA started today, too.
They did start. Did you see they had us ranked, was it number four?
It was fourth in Peter King's power rankings.
Power rankings.
Off-season power rankings. And I just watched Kyrie Irving do something pretty crazy. Sorry, I had to stop. But, yeah, the power rankings, we were fourth. I mean, we were ahead of a bunch of guys, a bunch of teams, obviously. And it's just crazy to see just by the additions that we've had this off season that how much –
the expectations
are through the roof, man.
And well, it hasn't been like this since,
I can't even remember. I think I was like 12 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like the early 2000s when people were expecting us to be this good. So,
OTA started. Let's go over those a little bit.
Yeah.
You had Mariota coming back from the injury, back on the field for the first time. He did walkthroughs, individual drills, and 7-on-7. I think they sat him out for team drills.
Yeah, I watched a couple of his throws on just videos that people have put out there. The Titans website, Jim White tweeted a couple out. I think PK had a couple. And, I mean, he looked pretty good, man. He was running around. He's scrambling around.
Doing the change of direction stuff.
And in the press conference, he said something that he wasn't 100% full speed yet, but he said he's really, really close. So that's real promising to hear.
That's why they set him out during team drills, just kind of limiting him. He wants to be out there, but, they kind of got to handle him with kid gloves.
Right.
I think the main thing to take from that is that he's pretty much on time with his recovery. No big setbacks.
It almost seems like he's ahead of schedule, too.
Well, they said 5 to 6 months before he would be back doing, football activities. So he's a little bit ahead of that.
Right. So, I mean, that's a definitely good sign for the season. And to get in there, even in the OTAs before training camp and stuff, to get a repertoire, get some reps or whatever you want to call it with the receivers.
Rapport.
Yeah, build rapport. That's the word I was looking for. just to get with the new receivers. So, I mean, that's huge.
You definitely got to have them on the same page, especially those young guys coming in.
Right. He said something about Taylor in the press conference, didn't he?
He did. He spoke very highly of Taylor. He said Taylor made some real good contested grabs. He displayed that quick burst that he's been known for.
Yeah. So just him already seeing that from Taylor, it kind of makes you think that Mariota in the regular season is gonna have an eye for him.
Yeah. He spoke highly of Davis as well.
Right.
Davis. I think what the key thing to take away from the first day of OTAs was that the physical strength and size, it showed today.
Right. You said it went up there. I didn't see the videos of Davis too much. I was pretty busy today, but you said he caught a couple of balls, jumped up and caught a bunch.
Yeah,
ankle looked good.
Several high catches, high point of point of reception.
Right.
And just displaying that athleticism that he's been known for.
Right.
He did sit. They sat him in one-on-one drills. again, just kind of limiting him a little bit, easing him in since he had the injury.
You know he's going to with the ankle injury.
You know, speaking of the injuries, they did hold out Dodd, which it just seems like he's never going
to
get on.
I know, man. It's almost to the point where he's almost a bust. I mean, to me, he's almost a bust, even though he hasn't even seen the field, really. It's like you picked him in the second round. He's consistently – I mean, I don't even remember seeing him make a tackle or anything last year.
Well, I'd be surprised to see him at all during OTAs. He may get in some training camp later on in the summer, but
I hope he's not a bust. But
I do too. It's not looking good. You know, it just doesn't look positive.
Right.
Klug also said, you know, he had the Achilles tendon rupture. I think week 16. Yeah. So he sat, and so did Sylvester Williams, who had an off-season ankle surgery.
Ankle, yeah.
I don't think they said it should be a problem going forward. He'll probably.
I hope it's not because they signed him for a pretty decent little contract. He can't. Hopefully, he doesn't come in.
Right. I think they said injured. That he'll probably get some OTAs here within the next couple of weeks.
All
right.
That's pretty good then.
But the main thing that stood out for today was this huge catch that Tajay Sharp made.
It was pretty good.
They said he went over and caught over a defender.
Oh wow.
They said he looked really good.
Sharp's looking good, man, that wide receiver 3 spot is going to be. I mean, that's what the battle is going to be between Sharp and Taylor, and it seems like they're going to go at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of made some projections for today's podcast, and I'm going to be honest, I kind of had him scaled back a little bit, thinking that Tawan Taylor's going to take his position.
Right.
Maybe he's going to show me up there.
Yeah, he didn't have bad numbers last year for a rookie. He had 41 catches for a little over 520 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's not bad. Granted, we drafted him in the 5th round, and you know he performed pretty good last year in OTAs and training camp and all that stuff. So Sharp is going to be pushed, and it's going to be a battle between him and Taylor.
Well, since we're already talking about the offense here, we might as well just dive into our meat of our discussion today.
Right. Let's do it.
I'm going to hit you with a quick stat real quick. Last year, we were 11th in the league in total offense. We had 5,728 yards. We were 3rd in rushing. Of course, that was our
– Right. That was our meat. I mean, that was our
meat
go-to.
Potatoes, yeah.
Exotic smash mouth.
Yeah. And we were 25th in the league in passing. I think you're going to see the passing game, come alive this year. You know, of course, added the guys.
I think something that had to do with that was because we didn't have a number one receiver to go to. Rashard Matthews was the guy near the end of the year, but he's more of a number two guy, I think. To me, he's more of a guy that plays a good second receiver in the lineup. And we went and got Corey Davis, and that should, if he pans out like everybody thinks he's going to, that should sure up that first spot and give us a better deep threat and things like that.
Well, you had Conklin, who he was young. He came in, and he was great right away. But, you still got to kind of build a rapport with the rest of the guys. And
Who did you say?
Conklin.
Oh, yeah.
No,
okay.
What I'm saying is, we probably ran – he was known to be a good, a solid run blocker.
Yeah, right.
And they probably eased him in, maybe limited the amount of passing we did early on.
Right.
And, it's always kind of been a knock against Mariota, maybe he's not the greatest passer as far as getting the ball deep.
Right. If you look at it, though, I can't remember the exact stat. I have to look it up. Pro Football Focus had him ranked pretty dang high when it came to a deep ball. I'd have to get the exact stat for you. But it had him ranked pretty high last year, a drastic improvement from 2 years ago going into last year. So, I mean, he's proven – at least last year, that he can throw the ball down the field a little bit.
Well, running's always going to be our strength, I think. It's, as long as we've got those two running backs back there. But I do think with the offseason acquisitions we have and just another year for Mariota to develop, we're going to kind of open up the passing
game. Oh, yeah, I think so for sure. The pass game is – I think he's probably going to have at least 50 to 75 – more attempts than he did last year throwing the ball. I don't know if that's outlandish prediction.
I didn't project
him. I think probably at least 50.
I didn't project him for that many more. I think I put down like 35 extra passes. But I can see it being more than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like an extra 3 or 4 passes a game.
Mm-hmm.
That right there will get you to, what, 3, 6? I mean, that'll get you up there close to 50.
Well,
So you think that if we're going against a team that can – they're a really good run defense, we're obviously going to pass more, and we're going to be more effective at it now that we have more weapons on the outside.
Yeah.
And things like that. So we're not going to have to totally rely on the run game.
Well, for sure. You know, and when I was doing these projections, the crazy thing, you know, I commend the people that do these things because, like, I put down, like, Mariota's numbers. I went, you know, I tackled his first, kind of what I thought was possible this year.
Right.
And then you got to take those numbers and kind of make the wide receivers
divvy them out to everybody, right?
And
everybody, like, you got receivers, you got running backs, you got tight end. I mean, you got everybody.
The closest I could get was always more than my projections for Mariota. So,
right.
I mean, that just tells you that we're high on the offense. You know, Mariota made great strides last year.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah, he did
compared to the year before.
And he's great in the red zone too, and having Davis in down there is mm-hmm. going to be huge. And Jonnu Smith, the tight end.
Well, you know, we discussed the attempts. He was like 24th in the league last year in both completions and attempts.
Yeah, right.
But if you looked like at some of the sabermetric stats, he was 9th in yards per attempt. And he was 6th in adjusted yards per attempt, which takes in consideration the interception ratio.
Right, right.
And so that just proves how accurate and how good he was with the attempts that he had.
Right. Just because he doesn't have the attempts doesn't make you a bad quarterback. Just because we have so many – well, our running game is so strong is what I'm getting at. So we rely on the running game to open up the pass. And this year I think that we're probably going to – do a little of both just mm-hmm. because you're going to have the weapons to get down the field with Taewon Taylor. They say he's got pretty good speed to get down the field. He's quick. Yeah. So like, that's going to open up the running game by dropping that safety back. Or
for sure.
They're going to have to take out a linebacker and put in another safety to guard one of the two tight ends. I mean, it's pretty cool to think about, man, just the weapons that we've added, how different our offense is going to look, but also how it's going to look the same too, because we're going to be running the ball.
You know, when I was looking at those sabermetric stats, you look at some of the guys that he was in front of.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson. I mean, those guys, you know, I mean, they're gamers.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, several categories he was ahead of those guys in.
Yeah, I mean, that's – like I said, if he heals up like he's supposed to, man – I got a feeling our offense is going to be a whole lot better than 11th. I'm thinking probably top 8, top 7, just because of how dynamic it's shaping up to be.
I'm gonna go ahead and hit you with my projections, and you can kind of tell me if I'm crazy.
Let's hear it.
The completions I'm gonna put like 325, which is a small bump over last year's. 3,990 yards, so 10 yards shy of 4,000. 30 touchdowns, 11 picks.
That's not bad. I mean, come on. You could have just gave him the 4,000. You stopped at 10 yards short. I don't know.
10 yards short. Oh, yeah, you know, 4,000 just jumps out on the page.
It does.
It kind of makes
How much did he have last year?
Last year.
You know, I know it wasn't 3,990. So it's going to jump up for sure.
I think, honestly, it was like 3,400.
34?
I think so.
And that's with him sitting out?
3,426.
3,426. Okay. So about 500 more yards. You could probably divvy that out between. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge jump. We're going to, like you said, we're going to throw the ball, I think, a lot more than we did last year.
I did also decrease his attempts. On rushes,
but like you just don't think he's gonna run as much.
I don't think he will. I mean, the two straight
because of the foot injury, or do you think he's just not? He's gonna fit in the offense well.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
I mean,
I can see that.
He's had he's had injuries with his legs two straight seasons.
Yeah.
You know, he had the knee injury in 2015, and then last year, you know, the freak fracture.
Right. Right. Yeah. It just kind of got rolled up on. It was.
But I could just I could totally see him becoming more of a pocket passer guy. You know what happened to Steve McNair? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve McNair, you know, early in his career would look to run, and afterwards he kind of used the run as a last, you know, ditch effort.
Like, he could still do it, though. Like, he could still for sure do it, but it was more of like a almost an instinct. If nothing was happening, he felt that he needed to run, and man, he took a pounding, too. We talk about Mariota's injuries, man. Steve McNair.
Mariota wouldn't be able to stand up.
Oh, no. I don't think anybody can, man. McNair is probably the toughest guy I've ever seen.
Maybe Big Ben, but that's.
Yeah, something like that.
So. They're both very similar, you know.
Yeah. We're talking about Mariota's attempts and things like that, yards going up and stuff. So that means, does that mean the rushing attack is going to fall off? I mean, I don't think it's necessarily going to fall off. But it's going to be in lesser quantities, maybe not a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's going to be – I got a feeling that Derrick Henry's going to be a little more involved in the offense this year.
Well, on the projections there, I did project him for more carries this year. Cool stat that I found when I was reading and researching, I think it came from like Alabama.com or AL.com,
some right.
news site. They said that whenever Henry got 5+ carries, the Titans were 7-1. And when he had under 5 carries, they were 2-6.
Wow. That's,
so you know, I mean, definitely, just by reading that stat, it looked like it, you know, contributed to.
Right. Last year, DeMarco had he almost had 1,300. And Derrick Henry almost had 5. So with these receivers coming around, I think that they'll have less attempts, but I think that their numbers will – I think Henry's numbers will go up. I'm expecting him to get at least, I think, probably about 150 carries.
That's what I got him down for exactly.
And then DeMarco probably around 240 to 250, maybe even a little more.
I mean, maybe 265.
Like 255, something like that. So like, they're both going to touch the ball. Murray's going to get it a little more, but I think that Henry is going to be a little more involved. I'm thinking probably about 600 yards.
675.
Good. I mean, that's a great minds think alike there, I guess.
Right. 12. I just put DeMarco and even 1,200. I could see it being some change on there.
Yeah, I think that he might have a little less than 12, actually.
I could see that.
Probably, I'm thinking more closer to 11, maybe even like just over 1,000. I could be wrong. Maybe like, I mean, I can get exact like you did on that Mariota stat and give him like 1,090 or something like that. That's kind of where what I'm thinking he's going to do this year.
And another thing that I didn't do at all was project our third running back, which if Muhammad makes the team, I could definitely see him getting some carries.
I think he'll get some carries, but I think you'll see him more in the passing game.
On the screens.
Right.
The screens,
like, you got screens, even like – even just like out of the backfield, just like a little Texas route, as they call it, you act like you're running the sidelines and cut up the field just because he can outrun them linebackers because he's so fast.
Right.
He's like angling toward like the 30-yard line and then steps at the line of scrimmage and cuts across, almost like a drag route for a running back. So.
Right. Got the kids.
Yeah, the kids are in the background screaming. Sorry about that.
Where were we?
We were talking about Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray.
Well, you know.
And Kalfani Muhammad.
That's a good effort there. Is that what it really is?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure.
I've just been calling him Muhammad.
Yeah, we'll just go with Muhammad.
I don't think you'll get just an exorbitant amount of carries.
No.
Some days he might not even. Some change of pace. You know, the Titans really don't have that guy that's got the real quick. You know, speed.
Right, right.
DeMarco, I guess, you know, is our speed guy, but, you know, he's getting older. And,
right.
And, you know, Henry's not slow himself.
Yeah, Henry's pretty quick, man, for a big boy. He can move.
You know, he's going to be shifty, smaller guy. Hard to
he's real small. I think he's like 5'9". Yeah. Did you see the picture of him standing beside Henry today?
No.
Dude, you got to look it up. It's like, I mean, he comes up to like his chest or something. It's crazy. Look at it. It's pretty funny. But I think even sometimes Muhammad might not even dress. He could. A lot of teams like to have three running backs dressed. But he might be a guy that sometimes they just leave off. They leave off off the 53 man that day. So he can make the team.
I had him projected for 8 touchdowns and then 5.
Who?
Well, 8 from DeMarco.
Oh, I thought you were saying Muhammad. No, I was like, no. That projection might be a little bit off.
8 for DeMarco and 5 for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. You could even say Henry, you might be able to flop that, I think.
5 and 8.
Because
the goal line touches.
Goal line touches. Murray's good, but I think you might see a little more Derrick Henry. Just because, man, they saying he's beefed up, like, not fat-wise. Like, I've seen pictures of him, and he's just, like, jacked. I mean, just totally swole.
Well, you know, they spoke very highly of him. They said in the offseason, you know, he went to school and got his degree.
Right,
yeah. He was taking classes and everything, and then he showed up and was just in immaculate shape.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's
and so he's looking good, man. Like, didn't even really have to do the off-season work before OTA started.
Right.
So basically he was already, you know, in shape.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, you could flip the numbers. That might be something you could – I mean, it could be 8-5, like you said. So it's going to depend on how everything shapes up in training camp and OTAs, everybody stays healthy and stuff like that. I also think, like, Henry is more – they're going to think of him more as a starter, but he's not going to start, if that makes any sense. Just because I think he's going to be so involved now that he's actually going to be, like, a part. You know what I mean? I mean, last year he was a part of the offense, but he was the backup. But I think this year you're going to see him and DeMarco even on the field at the same time a little more.
I can see that. I don't know if I would say starter, though. I mean, I think DeMarco's still going to be
their guy. Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's going to be the number one.
I think so, but I think you're going to see him as, like, he's going to be more of a weapon this year than he was last year, and he was a pretty good weapon last year.
Well,
so,
for sure. I mean, the days of DeMarco being third in the NFL in touches, that's what he was last year.
Yeah.
I think they're over. He's not going to have that many touches.
Yeah, he's not going to have as many. And it's not because he's slacking off. It's just because we're gonna have more guys that can get the ball, that can be explosive with the ball. Last year, he was the only guy, I think, that I thought, besides Mariota on offense, besides him, Mariota and Delanie Walker were the three guys that I think could make a huge play at any time.
Yeah.
And now we have, like, Taylor, Davis, Walker. I mean, it's there's a lot of options there.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think some of his production that he's for sure going to lose, you know, to help these touches go down and, you know, keep them fresh, you know. Because I think this year we're going to have postseason expectations.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, you're already seeing that with
projections.
Peter King's, you know, power rankings.
Right.
He caught the ball 53 times last year.
DeMarco?
DeMarco.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised by that. That was
a lot. That's, I mean, he got a lot of touches, man. Like we've talked about it. He's got a lot of touches.
Well, so. But just, you know, I didn't, when you think of DeMarco Murray, you know, you think of the running ability.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was that capable of a passer.
Catching
the
ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, receiver, yeah. So I project him for, you know, quite a few less receptions this year. Yeah. I got him at just 40. You know, it's 13 less. I think a lot of those, you know, a lot of it has to do with the wide receivers they're bringing in. They kind of used him.
It could even be less than 40, too. I mean, it's going to
see it, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man, just to see how offensively how everybody's going to gel.
Yep.
Because they're, I mean, you know, Mariota's going to, he's just going to have so many weapons at his disposal. They might even ride the hot hand some. Like if DeMarco's running good, keep feeding him. If Davis is getting open, keep feeding. I mean, there's just so many options there. Another thing that we're going to jump into is the offensive line. And we added Tim Lelito. He is going to be a guy that's pretty versatile for us. He played center and guard last year.
Right.
But I think the starters overall are going to stay the same. You have, obviously, Lawan and Conklin. Quentin Spain and Josh Klein, they're going to be the guards. Ben Jones at center. Tratola, if he improves a lot, I think that he could make a run at one of the starting guards. But I think he will be the backup for either guard. If he can play both sides. Lolito could probably be the backup too, but he's for sure going to be the backup center.
Do you know if any of these guys that we just brought in the draft, are they capable of sliding to any position?
I think
maybe not center, but like guard, tackle.
I don't know. I think Levin has a little bit of history. Corey Levin out of UTC.
Right.
He has a little bit of history of playing some tackle and some guard. I think he's mainly a guard, though. Mm-hmm. I believe maybe the first year, I can't remember exactly. I think the first year he played tackle, and then they moved him inside. So he's got a little bit of experience there, but I don't think that he's gonna move outside.
I mean, hopefully they won't have to play a tackle at all.
Right.
You know, hoping and praying for no injuries.
And we got the Kelly guy too, Dennis Kelly.
Yeah, he can slide down.
He plays. He plays. Yeah, he's pretty versatile. He plays tackle though, so he's gonna probably back up either tackle. Brad Seaton is the other guy we drafted from Villanova. That dude is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
He will probably be, I think he's probably going to be a practice squad guy to start out, unless he just shines in OTAs and training camp.
Yeah.
But I think he'll probably be a practice squad guy for the first couple of games. Or, I mean, unless he develops, injury happens, you know, something like that. So.
You know, as is most of the time with the offensive line, they get less press coverage on these OTAs, especially on the first day. So I didn't really see any major notes from
you. Know a little bit about playing offensive line, Mr. All-State.
Well, yeah, but you know, I also know that it's not a glory position, too.
Right? Yeah, so, a
little salty about it here.
Yeah,
going back to OTAs and offensive line. I noticed Spain had his shirt off. That's one of the big notes they had about it.
Had his shirt off at the Preds game?
Well, at OTAs and the Preds game.
Yeah.
Seems like it's always off.
It's almost like the J.R. Smith of the Titans.
Right.
He's always got his shirt off.
It's funny.
I seen him at OTAs having his shirt off. And with the offensive line, it seems like our offensive line has some chemistry, man. Like, especially the starters, you see them all together at the Preds game with Mariota
throwing the catfish
on the thing. Like, they were the hype men for I think game four or something like that, and they just crushed the tall boys right there. Mariota wasn't drinking though, I don't think, but he was. I mean, you see him jumping around, man. It got you pretty pumped up, and just the chemistry, you got to have that at them positions because you got to know what everybody else is thinking, how everybody's going to react.
For sure. Offensive line, you got to be – I mean, they're your brothers.
You know more about it than I do, but I just know that throughout playing football through my life that the offensive line guys always seem to come – they were together all the time, whether it be at lunch, whether it be outside doing something. They're always together. They have that brotherhood, and it kind of seems like that the Titans offensive line has that.
Yeah. I mean, it's – you know, and – I think in offensive line, we're going to be set as like one of the, you know, elite offensive lines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Conklin was all pro last year.
And I don't think we have anything to worry about. I delivered to him, unless, too. Unless, oh, you
delivered. On Thursdays, yeah.
Deliver to Conklin?
I can't tell you where he lives, but I do deliver to him.
That's funny.
On my Thursday route. So
maybe we get some ticks.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah. probably not going to happen.
No.
If
you hear this, though, Conklin, just leave them in your mailbox on Thursday. They'll pick them up.
Leave more than one.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think we're going to have one of the best offensive lines in the
oh, yeah.
in the league, unless, you know, even with some major injury.
Even a major injury, I think that we have so much depth there.
You don't want one of those two to go down, though.
No, you don't. You don't. But they can still be very effective, I think.
Yeah.
Just because we have so much depth. Dennis Kelly is a pretty good backup tackle. He stepped in last year, man, and he was like, I mean, he was solid.
Oh, just to be honest, we were on the winning end of that trade.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Easily. DGB's not even gonna make the team, I don't think. So.
No, I mean,
and a lot of people were talking about what is John Robinson doing. I mean, even with that trade right there, I don't think you can question him. Dennis Kelly for DGB. Dennis Kelly's our backup guard, and I mean our backup tackle, and DGB's not even on the team. So yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked all this hype and stuff about the OTAs and how the receivers were the key focus. You know, we'll dive right into the receivers, and you know, we'll talk about the battle that we think is going to ensue in these OTAs.
Yeah, Tajae Sharp, and Taywan Taylor, man, that third receiver spot, which is also kind of like what I was saying with Henry, the third wide receiver spot doesn't get a starting spot in the Titans offense just because we like to run two wide receiver sets of fullbacks like that. So like
right.
There's a starter there, but it's not really a starter. And Sharp and Taylor are gonna battle that out.
You can see us running some two tight end stuff this year.
Oh yeah, man. Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
He's gonna be a guy. Philip Supernaw's there. I don't see him as much of a pass catcher. He's more of a run blocking guy.
Third and short.
Yeah, I mean, he can catch some passes. A lot of people are saying he's going to take Fasano's role because Fasano's back to Miami. So, I mean, Supernaw can fill in that void. But I think if Jonnu Smith can get the playbook down, you're going to see him a lot more than you see Supernaw because he is that athletic, versatile guy that can catch the ball and get down the field.
He'll definitely be, you know, he'll be in there on some red zone stuff for sure.
And we talked about in a previous podcast how Walker was Jonnu Smith's comparison.
Yeah, it was our draft podcast.
Yeah, he was when the draft experts were breaking Jonnu Smith down, they said he compared most to
Delanie Walker.
You know, so it's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool.
So, I mean, you know, bringing in these offensive receivers, you know, you got Matthews who led the group last year. You can definitely see him kind of taking a little step back.
Yeah, just because we got Davis. He's going to be number two, but I think Matthews, man, is a good possession receiver to go opposite the speedy, versatile Corey Davis.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and hit you with my projections on some of these.
Let's hear them.
All right. Corey Davis, I have projected 60 catches for 950 yards. That's like 15 a catch.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's a pretty good amount.
Oh, yeah. For a rookie, man, that's great.
8 touchdowns. So, you know, we're high on him.
Oh, and, yeah. I think everybody is.
Obviously, with that, with him being the number one, I had Rashard Matthews taking a pretty sizable step back. 55 catches, 700 yards,
yeah.
6 TDs. And then Delanie Walker with 55 also, 690 and 6 TDs.
Yeah. And how many touchdowns is Mario throwing? 30-something?
Well, I projected him for 30. I projected him for 30, but after I crunched the receiver numbers, he ended up with 35.
Oh, okay. That's a lot, dude.
Yeah.
35.
I mean, that was, you know, again,
I could see it happening, but
that's alluding back to how hard it is to crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
You could probably knock off some touchdowns on some of these receivers. I mean, this is best case scenario.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And Delanie Walker, I think last year he ended up with like 800.
Did he?
Yeah, receiving yards.
Yeah, I knew he was up there. I thought he was even closer to 1,000, maybe not.
I believe it was like right at 800.
800, okay.
Maybe a little change tacked on, but 690, that's a big step back for him.
Yeah.
But you know, the age is getting up there.
Right. But like you said, though, I don't think that it's going to be, or like I said, I don't think it's going to be because he's falling off. No, yeah, he's getting older, but
it's not going to be like his skills are deteriorating. It's just going to be he's not really – he doesn't have to be the number one guy right now.
Right, and he's been the number one guy for I mean, a while in this offense. But you're going to have Davis on that outside, which people are going to have to pay attention to, which takes the attention away from Walker, takes the attention away from Murray, takes the attention away from Matthews. And they're just going to have to pick their poison. Who do they want to beat them?
I got Tawan Taylor down for 45 catches, 600 yards, and 4 TDs.
That's very similar to the season that Tajay Sharp had.
And that's basically kind of what I was wanting to say is, like, I projected him to take that number three spot and kind of be what Tajay Sharp was last year. And then,
so what do you have Sharp having?
Sharp right underneath them. 35 catches for 420.
420.
And it's kind of, you know, he's taking a step back. But again, it's not really, you know, skills deteriorating or like, you know, it's not really taking a step back. It's just we've added so much more to the offense.
Right.
Rounding out the rest of the group, DeMarco Murray, Jonnu Smith, Derrick Henry, and then miscellaneous.
Right.
And that a total for about 700 yards or so, those cluster of guys,
right,
and roughly about 7 touchdowns.
Okay, yeah, I mean, them numbers are for sure
optimistic.
They can happen. They're optimistic, yeah, but also you can definitely see it happening. It's not like something we're not projecting like 55 touchdowns and 3 picks. I mean, they're numbers that could very well happen. Especially if there's no injuries and things like that. So, I mean...
And then this is projecting also a perfect world. No injuries.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, it's like there's no setbacks. So, I mean, it can for sure... It's something that a lot of fans need to look at and think, this can happen. It could even be better than what we're projecting. Like, he could get that extra 10 yards to get the 4,000, like he said.
Right.
I mean, it's projections, optimistic projections, but also very realistic projections.
And then after I added up all of the receiving yards and touchdowns, it was 4,150 yards for Mariota technically to have.
Okay.
And so my original projection for him was, 10 under 4,000.
Right,
I didn't want to give him the 4,000.
Yeah. Just hating Mario.
So I don't think the numbers ended up being that far away. And like you look at 3990, and I'm like, I think he can get to that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree with you totally on that part for sure. But also, if you think about it, if he gets that what you project 3990, is that gonna be with DeMarco running for 1,200?
Yeah.
Or is 1,200 his total yards? So you're saying he's going to run for 1,200 and then have receiving yards also?
Yeah.
So he's going to have probably like a 1,500-yard season again.
DeMarco?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't projected for almost 300 yards receiving.
Okay, so like he's going to be 50. Do you have Derrick Henry's receptions?
I did. You know, last year I think he had like 13 receptions for like 130 or something.
I think that'll probably go up.
And I got him just for 2 more catches. And really, I had him projected for a little bit more than that at first. But he was one of the guys I tacked off.
Yeah, to tack off of a little bit, yeah.
Because I really overshot the projections originally. Like, it was like almost 4,500 yards receiving. And Mariota's not going to throw 4,500 yards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he does, dude, I mean, you're looking at 4,000.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I mean, the offense is going to be just as good as it was last year, better, I'm thinking. A lot better.
And, you know, this
And we were the 11th ranked offense last year. To say a lot better, you're jumping like 4 spots. And that's just because the different players and weapons and things like that. Mariota is going to get through OTAs. If he plays if he goes through OTAs and training camp, that leads me to believe he's probably going to get a little bit of reps in preseason to develop the chemistry and just to know what his receivers are going to do out there when it's a option route. If they're going to cut in for a 10-yard post route or whatever, dive route, whatever you want to call it, or give the head fake and go deep. So you're gonna the chemistry is gonna be there just because he's getting the OTAs, training camp, stuff like that.
And you know, I added all the numbers up, the rushing for DeMarco and Derek, and then the receiving yards that I projected, and then the original projection that I gave Mariota, and really the projections only like if we use last year's team stats and the final standings where we were 11th. It only bumped us up to either 10th or 6th, just whichever ones you – and, I mean, I don't think that's too drastic of a jump.
I got another question for you, though, is do you see Eric Weems or Harry Douglas still on this team when the season starts?
Well, you know
– you know we signed Weems, so you think that he's going to –
we also just signed a guy, the Jennings guy.
Yeah, the Jennings. But he's a
– and they say that he could – possibly be in on some special teams return stuff.
Right.
I mean, it seems like we've got a bunch of return guys.
It's going to be for sure a battle for that last receiver spot with Douglas, Weems, the Jennings guy. I mean, it's going to be a fight in training camp just to see Trey McBride even, and he's a good – Trey McBride's a good special teams guy, too. Going down there making tackles, downing punts, things like that. So that last spot, I think probably on game day, we're going to have four receivers active. You're going to have Davis, Sharp, Taywan Taylor, and Rashard Matthews. Maybe five, and that fifth one is going to come down to Weems, Douglas, and Trey McBride, and you know,
the, well, you know, with Weems guy. Though, I mean, we signed him to like $2.6 million.
Yeah, so you think he might make
for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know the contract stuff for Jennings that we just signed.
It wasn't big.
It's probably like a minimum type thing.
Yeah, he's like
one of these guys may be relegated. One or two of the guys may be relegated to the like practice
squad. Yeah, but the thing is, man, the thing that I think gives Douglas and Weems an advantage. They were with Trubisky, our offensive coordinator,
right,
in Atlanta. So like they know his system. Like Douglas and Weems, they both know that system. So they have an advantage over the other guys because they know it in and out. They've been doing it for a long time. And Douglas, as much as I've heard other podcasts and other people talk about how they don't think Douglas should be on this team, last year, he came up with some big plays, some big catches. I remember he laid somebody out on a big run by DeMarco, or it might have been Henry. I can't remember the exact play.
And also,
but he's a good guy, veteran leadership in the locker room.
Moving him out of the locker, you know, all these young guys we've got. I mean, it would take the veteran, you know,
presence out of the locker. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you totally. So, I mean, it's going to be a battle. The receiving core is going to be a good battle to watch throughout the
offseason. Well, that's off where your major battle is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have the battle
on the offensive side. Oh, on the offensive side.
Right. You had the battle for number three, and then you've got the battle, you know, to kind of be on the team, that last wide receiver position. Because that's the only thing we're going to carry six at the most into the season.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So, you got anything else, man? I mean, the offensive side of the ball is looking good.
It is. I mean, I think that's basically the key thing, you know, you should take from this podcast today is that the offense is looking good. You know, it kind of was we were good last year, and it was because of our run game, and you're going to see that passing game kind of catch up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to open up the playbook this year, I think.
Yeah, I think you'll probably see a lot more
Exotic smash mouth.
I think something that you haven't seen the Titans do, one last thing before we go, is throughout the Titans' history, you've seen a lot of kind of button hook routes where the receiver is catching the ball and they're stopped. This year with Davis and Taylor, and last year you've seen it a little bit too, you're going to see more slants where Mariota's timing a slant route and hitting somebody in full stride. You're going to see more post routes, like drag routes with the tight ends. I think you're going to see the ball hitting somebody running full speed instead of somebody going and turn around.
Kind of displaying that speed you've got.
Right. You're
taking advantage of the speed, you know,
that you drafted and stuff like that. So, I mean, you'll see a lot more moving routes, as I'll call them, than your run to a spot, run to that 8 yard, that 8 yard curl, that 12 yard curl,
right,
and hit him in the chest. Yep. So I mean, the timing and the chemistry that Mariota and the receivers and Delanie Walker and DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry and Jonnu Smith, and they're all developing right now. You'll see that throughout the season come together, and our offense is going to be pretty solid.
You know, like, I think the best case scenario for this year has already happened today. Mariota's ahead of schedule in his recovery. He's out there getting the timing down. He's right. Not going to miss any time, any extra time. When the injury first happened, they were afraid that it could possibly linger, you know, through training camp. And it looks like, you know, we dodged that bullet.
Yeah, right. I mean, I agree. So,
knock on wood.
Yeah, I know. Knock on wood. We can't have anything aggravated.
So that's going to do it for this podcast.
It's a shorter one that we've done, but I think that we've covered a lot of material, and there's not a whole lot to really dive into right now, just because OTAs just started today. Next week we'll go over a little more in depth on OTAs. And we're going to hit the defense and special team side of the ball, talk about matchups to watch for in training camp, maybe projections a little bit on Adoree.
Get to talk about Adoree Jackson.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Logan Ryan, how he fits. So things like that.
It's a lot of exciting things on next show. So.
Right, so yeah, make sure you tune in. Also, give us a follow on Twitter, the Post Route 17. We're still looking for comments, reviews, questions to come in. I know a couple guys that shot me asking where the podcast was. I know we're doing it a day late. Life happens, so we're kind of,
and we kind of wanted to get the OTA started today, so we delayed it a little bit.
Right. So yeah, just make sure you subscribe and give us a review. We really, really, really need the reviews. So yeah. Also, one more thing. Check us out on TitanSize.com. I've released two new articles. One is about, do we need backup competition for Matt Castle? And then another one will be coming out in the next couple days, talking about how much pressure is on the Titans this year. Go check that out. Follow us. Give us a tweet.
And send us some questions.
Questions. You know, we'll answer them on the show. Yeah, so we're down to talk about anything.
Postroute17@gmail.com.
Send us a question. You can tweet us. I'm working on getting a Facebook page set up, so you can like us on there, comment, ask any questions on there, and we'll be happy to answer anything you've got to ask.
Well, until next week.
Until next time.
Y'all keep the flags up.
Move them trash cans. Tighten up, boys.
Tighten up.